This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News. This is 28 August 2023 live reporting. We begin with the Kremlin denying a role in the crash of the jet that killed the leader of the Wagner Group, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who was quite a fierce fighter. Prigozhin was eulogized by Vladimir Putin, but I thought in an insufficiently enthusiastic fashion, really not showing great admiration for the man. Even as suspicions grew, the Russian leader was behind the crash. Many saw as an assassination. A preliminary U.S. intel assessment concluded the plane was downed by an intentional explosion. One of the U.S. and Western officials who described it said it determined Prigozhin was very likely targeted. Explosion falls into a pattern of the silencing of critics by Putin. Now, I think that's a little too conventional, meaning it fits too much the Western intel pattern here. Meanwhile, we know, of course, that the war is continuing. What's been most surprising is the destruction of an S-400 system in Crimea. Kiev says a new weapon destroyed the Russian surface-to-air system. Others state it was a land attack version of the Neptune missile. This is somewhat surprising. Oleksiy Danilov, secretary of Ukraine's National Security and Defense Council, confirmed Saturday that what it claimed to be a new Ukrainian missile had hit the S-400. Did not say specifically what this modern weapon was supposed to be. You can read about it. Here's a tweet about it. The S-400 launcher in Crimea was destroyed by a new Ukrainian missile. The rocket was new, absolutely modern. This is our new product. The secretary of Ukraine National Security and Defense Council said that it had been destroyed by this new Ukrainian missile. Ukrainian intelligence, HUR, published video footage reportedly showing the destruction of a Russian S-400 air defense battery in Crimea, which they'd like to suggest is temporarily occupied, but I guarantee you the Russians aren't going to give it up. That's interesting because the other reports we have are overwhelmingly negative, that the Ukrainians are surrendering in droves or giving up their tanks or flying under white flags. Many are refusing to go to the front where they're going to be churned up by Russian artillery. We know Ukraine is short on artillery. These are among the reasons I've reported already that the war is all over, but for the shouting, nevertheless. Antiwar.com reports. Senior U.S. officials expect to back Ukraine against Russia into next year and beyond. Most senior U.S. officials want to keep supporting the proxy war against Russia and are not looking for diplomatic off-ramps. Despite Ukraine's faltering counteroffensive, the Washington Post columnist David Ignatius reported Sunday, U.S. intelligence has determined Ukraine's counteroffensive will fail to meet its core objective of severing Russia's land bridge to Crimea. But the U.S. is still pressing Ukraine to push harder and concentrate its forces to make a push toward the Sea of Azov in the south. Ignatius said the U.S. thinks Ukraine could still do some damage to Russian forces, but doesn't expect a decisive blow. That means a continuation of this grueling war into 2024 and beyond, and a continuation of the heavy casualties and emotional trauma for both sides, Ignatius said. U.S. officials believe strategic patience remains the best weapon against Russian President Vladimir Putin, who still thinks he can outlast Ukraine in the West. Well, he doesn't just think it. I mean, it's a fact. The whole situation is completely absurd. militarily, strategically, in every possible way. Russia has short supply lines, has a very active production capacity for artillery shells, for example. We know there's a shortage. Even Biden has admitted sending the cluster bombs as an alternative. U.S. is going to take another year to get up production of 155 artillery shells. It's all over in that period of time. I mean, this is just ridiculous. You're simply getting more nonsense from the United States and the West about the sustainability of this effort. And, of course, it's all taking place within a larger geopolitical framework where the sanctions on Russia, destruction of the Nord Stream, has had calamitous effects because Russia had been cut out from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Other nations saw they, too, could be cut off from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. And the SWIFT system, they have long since now been creating their own in the form of BRICS. And would you believe, over the weekend, they had their big meeting, and Saudi Arabia and Iran and the United Arab Emirates joined BRICS. This is huge. Remember now, this is no longer trading in the U.S. petrodollar. BRICS is creating its own currency. It's going to be gold-backed. What we're seeing is a transformation because of the engagement in the war and its grotesque mishandling by the West, where they thought somehow they could drag Putin into his own Vietnam, or Afghanistan for that matter, because the United States has had these extremely long wars that have been utterly unproductive, and that's what's happening here. In fact, this war, if anything, is proving to be more counterproductive because of destroying the Nord Stream. Germany was cut off from the cheap energy it needed to maintain its role as the economic powerhouse of Europe. The European economy is now withering on the vine. Winter is settling in. There's going to be massive complaints from the citizens. This is all brought about by incompetence on the part of the leadership of the West. Trump had said if he were president, there would have been no war. I think that's right. He said if he were to return to the presidency, it would be settled in a day or two. I think that might also be right. But mind you, there's no way in the world that Russia is going to give up Crimea, the Donbass, Odessa, the other claims it's made here. You can regard these as permanent, or as permanent as these matters ever turn out to be. Now, those of you who may have been banned from Twitter or shadow banned or what have you, that's nothing compared to what happens in other parts of the world. Get this. Middle East Eye reports, Saudi Arabia, brother, a prominent scholar, sentenced to death over tweets. Mohammed Al-Ghamdi, a retired teacher, was sentenced to death over tweets from an anonymous account with 9 followers, says his UK-based brother. Think about this. My God. Here's a story. A Saudi court has sent the brother of a prominent scholar and government critic to death over his tweets against corruption and for defending imprisoned religious scholars during interrogations. His family and rights group have reported. In a tweet on Thursday, renowned UK-based religious scholar Saqid Al-Ghamdi said the specialized criminal court in Riyadh had ended his brother Mohammed Al-Ghamdi, a death sentence over tweets made from an anonymous account with 9 followers. The tweet, seen by Middle East Eye, focused on unemployment, inflation, and government mismanagement of resources, and called for the release of political prisoners. I appeal to everyone who has any ability to help free my brother's neck from the rule of injustice and unfair hearings, Saeed Al-Ghamdi, who lives in self-imposed exile in London, said. He added his brother, a retired teacher, was also sent for defending detained Sky News scholars who have been in prison and are all facing the death penalty. Well, thank goodness your tweets aren't getting you the death penalty. Meanwhile, we have a striking development in Greece. Get this. 160 people arrested on arson charges for Greek wildfires, which the media's claimed was to blame on climate change. Here you see the Greeks aren't being played by the climate change bullshit. I mean, it is a totally fabricated story based on fake science, sad to say, not supposed to happen. Science actually is our most reliable method for discovering truth, but it has to be applied appropriately. You have to take into account all relevant data, consider all alternative theories. What we have is propagandize or weaponize pseudoscience with paid scholars reporting. In other words, the corruption, frankly, has never been greater than it is today in terms of scientific fraud. We have to know enough to evade the scams. Fire department spokesman Ionis Leptos said 60 firefighters had been injured attempting to extinguish the blaze. There were 99 separate wildfires across the country on Wednesday. They forced numerous evacuations during the summer months. The European Union's Commissioner for Crisis Management said more than 180,000 acres burned in the port city of Alexandropolis, making it the largest wildfire ever recorded among European Union countries. Government spokesperson Pavlos Markinis said 160 people had been arrested against the country on arson charges, 42 of them accused of intentional arson, the remainder of setting fires through neglect. Culprits will face justice. This is really quite striking, I think, because they're not being played by the nonsensical claims of climate change being responsible. And that is very appropriate, because climate change isn't responsible. Here, when we turn to Maui, we get a report from Natural News. Over 2,400 kids are missing in Maui, but aren't included in the government's death toll. You might ask, why would they not? Well, that's because it's a very affecting story to have a whole lot of kids who were sent home from school so they could be incinerated with the others, because they would be the legal heirs of the property. And this is a land grab. Here we get a report. Listen. When massive fires began to ravage the island of Maui, emergency management teams were nowhere to be found. As the fires raged, at least 74 officials were attending an annual FEMA disaster meeting just an hour and a half flight away on the island of Oahu. Two officials from FEMA and the Center for Homeland Defense and Security were preoccupied at the Pacific Partnership meeting as one of the most devastating wildfires, sick, because it was not a wildfire, in U.S. history burned its way into the town of Lahaina. Why are federal and state officials not talking about the 2,400 missing children? The firestorm, fueled by tropical storm force winds, was not taken seriously. No emergency alarms were sounded. Evacuation routes were blocked. Local Maui residents said a police blockade actually prevented people from leaving Front Street in Lahaina as the wildfires came in. On that horrid day, vehicles burned in the streets, boats burned 50 yards out to sea, people barely survived choking and burning in the Pacific Ocean treacherous waters. In the aftermath, one could see droves of residents were backed up on roads that must have been blocked by billows of smoke and other barricades of fire devastation. They took out more than 2,200 homes, displaced an estimated 4,500 people, but they're not reporting the missing kids. And let me make an obvious observation. How can you have boats burned 50 yards out to sea if this were a wildfire. What, you think a wildfire is going to jump 50 yards of water in order to burn a boat? I mean, how absurd can you get? This is blatant proof that what we're talking about was not a wildfire. As of August 21st, Maui County and the police department reported a death toll of 115. It's been up to 115, Maui authorities repeated, but these official reports are a sham. The FBI, Red Cross, and Maui police have a missing person list that contains about 1,000 who are still unaccounted for. And by God, I guarantee you, the list is going to grow and grow. At least 2,400 students are still left unaccounted for in the public schools. These figures do not even account for the children who are homeschooled in Lahana, many of which could be missing as well. If they were to report the actual figures, you see, it would be a much more dramatic event. I mean, it's already stunning, but many more people would be looking at the situation here and trying to figure out what the hell had taken place. Meanwhile, we get a report I think is very appropriate. Maui fires demonstrate the horrifying reason you should never trust the government. As fires ripped through a West Maui community, people in car after car rushed to get out of town on what was the only paved road. And a barricade that stopped people from getting on Highway 30 sent car after car right back toward the wildfire that was growing quickly. A particular family drove through the roadblock and became safe in a town that was nearby 48 minutes later. A different family drove their four-wheel drive down a dirt road to get away. One guy took a dirt road higher, climbed above the fire, and watched as Lahaina burn. Later, he picked a path through the smoke, fire, and wreckage that pulled people to safety. But several dozen others were stuck in a hellscape. Just dozens, hundreds, even thousands, with fire on the first three sides and rough waves of the sea on the fourth. Their cars were all crammed together on the narrow roadway, some perished in their cars as others tried to get away. Now, let me mention that perhaps the best report I've seen yet was done by Stephanie Sledge and Jack Mullen called Operation Maui Dew. You can find it on my blog, my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. If you review the evidence they identify there, you're going to have no doubt that this was an artificially man-made event. There was no siren sounded. The water was cut off. We had the people blocked in. We had the boat setting on fire. We had the selective destruction of the buildings. I guarantee you 100%. There's no possible way this was a natural disaster. It was very cleverly contrived with catastrophic effects. Meanwhile, turning to domestic politics, surprise debate results have just come in. You probably didn't expect the top two winners. Well, what's happening? The first Republican debate produced strong winners, and a few should go back to their day jobs, yes. Republican hopefuls didn't disappoint, and they delivered their bullet points, fired off barbs against one another, though it got a really paltry viewership of only like 12.5 million. Trump's interview with Tucker, by the way, a staggering 236 million. The last time they had a debate where Trump was involved, they got 24 million.
Is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Younger, so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, days I'm gone, not so self-assured. Now I find, I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being right.
Examiner has reported roughly 29% of GOP voters who watched the debate thought DeSantis had the best performance, but closely followed by entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy with 26%. I thought Ramaswamy was far and away the best, the most articulate, the most eager to engage, and had the most cordial manner. That does not mean, however, that I believe he's actually qualified to serve as president of the United States or even as vice president, given that the vice president's role is to be prepared to assume the presidency. Although I thought he did great in the debate, I do not see him as qualified to assume the presidency. DeSantis is a mixed bag. I mean, he started off with so much promise. He's easily been the best Republican governor of any state in the union. But somehow his campaign fizzled out pretty early on. After those two, the crowd dropped off sharply, Nikki Haley getting 15%, but none of the others getting more than 7%. And I think the others, I mean, Asa Hutchinson, give me a break. He's just a traitor to the Republican Party. I see no virtue there whatsoever. Chris Christie came across as a bully and a thug. I don't think he's going anywhere. Mike Pence, pompous, really not a credible figure here, in my opinion, and destined to go nowhere either. Where Trump is contradicted Pence's effort to destroy Trump's legal defense by with regard to encouraging him to send back the disputed elector slates to the states. Trump repeated during his interview with Tucker that he'd been assured that was legally permissible, and to the best of my understanding, he's absolutely correct. It was legally permissible. When you had a disputed slates of electors, the right thing to do would have been to send it back to the states for clarification. Pence should have done that, but he did not. If you want to understand where the Democrats are today, get this story. The Democrat Attorney General of Arizona has threatened counties over hand counting paper ballots and hand counts. How ridiculous is this? The fraudulently elected Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays sent a letter earlier this month threatening counties if they follow a resolution passed in the legislature banning the use of foreign-made and non-compliant voting machines. That should be obvious, right? Senate Concurrent Resolution 1037 passed in the House and Senate states, no voting system or component or subcomponent of a voting system or component, including firmware, software, or hardware, assemblies, subassemblies with integrated circuits on which any firmware or software operates, may be used or purchased as the primary method for casting, recording, and tabulating ballots used by in any election in this state for federal office, unless, and gives a couple of special circumstances. The Cricket AG, however, wants to maintain the system that installed Katie Hobbs and herself. Chris Mayer sent a letter to Arizona County attorneys threatening counties that they are legally unauthorized from hand counting the ballots. The weaponization of law enforcement to influence election continues. I mean, look, for over 250 years, or virtually 250 years, we had hand counts and paper ballots. That's how it was done. We never had the kind of problem we have now since electronic voting machines have been introduced, where the Democrats are following the adage of Stalin. It doesn't matter who casts the votes. What matters is who counts them. Meanwhile, we've had a stunning development, actually, in the aftermath since booking Trump, that he has raised over $7.1 million shirts, T-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs with Trump's mugshot have been just selling like hotcakes. Get this. Former President Trump has raised nearly $20 million in the past 3 weeks, a period that roughly coincides with his indictment in federal and state cases connected to his claim that the 2020 election was stolen. Since appearing Thursday to have his mugshot taken in a racketeering and fraud case in Atlanta, he's brought in $7.1 million.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Now, those who follow the January 6th hearings in the House run by the Democrats know that they were trying to contrive the claim that Trump was disqualified from running for president because of an obscure clause in the 14th Amendment. Well, it's been thoroughly debunked by the Federalist, among other sources, to which I shall return, but it's being recycled all over again. A legal professional hailing from Palm Beach County has initiated one of the initial contentions aimed to exclude Trump from participating in the 2024 presidential election, invoking a provision within the 14th Amendment. The case was initiated by Lawrence Kaplan, a tax attorney based in Boynton Beach. He filed a challenge in federal court in the Southern District in Florida. The basis was a disqualification clause outlined in the amendment pertaining to individuals involved in acts of insurrection and rebellion against the United States. The ratification occurred in 1868, subsequent to the Civil War, during the period of Reconstruction. It also encompassed provisions pertaining to the citizenship status of emancipated slaves in the process of reintegrating the formerly ceded Confederate states into the Union. Well, we've been there. We've done that. There's really no basis to it, but it can be one of those reasons why we get exacerbated tension in terms of what's going on here, potentially to the extent of seeking to provoke a civil war. We got a report from Investors Watch, for example, that the January 6th committee prevented Stephen Bannon from showing his evidence and the right to defend himself. It suggests he's going to be found guilty, and then his prospects rest with the Supreme Court. Trump, of course, has been charged. He may wind up going that far, too. In fact, I think it's all but certain various Trump cases are going to wind up before the Supreme Court. But the fact is that the Federalist had already debunked these claims. It was a brilliant piece published by David Marcus way back on June 12th of 2023, January 12th of 2021. The Democrats and their media allies are trying to convince the American people Trump is guilty of inciting an insurrection. And here he was writing it fresh in the wake. It was just the week before. In both legal terms and in terms of the plain meaning of the English language, their claim is absurd on its face. There are two fundamental reasons for this. Trump did not incite the riots at the Capitol, and the riots were not an insurrection. Now, this is something you all want to understand, because this kind of bullshit is going to be slung around a whole lot. The standard for incitement. Legally speaking, incitement has an incredibly high bar that none of Trump's actions since the election come close to meeting. The standard was set in by the Supreme Court in its Brandenburg versus Ohio case, among other things. The decision held that in order to constitute incitement of violence, speech must include intent and specific, not abstract, instructions to act. It also requires speech in question would likely produce imminent lawless action, which went a step further than previous legal attempts for incitement. So as a legal matter, it seems pretty clear Trump did not incite. He told his people to be peaceful and patriotic in their protests. He didn't tell them to go into the Capitol. He didn't tell them to invade any office or take a podium or whatever. He did nothing like that. So as a legal matter, it seemed pretty clear. What about more generally in Salon? Amanda Marcotte tries to make the case that Trump did incite an insurrection. She starts with a big claim. There is no doubt Donald Trump incited the insurrection on January 6th. It happened largely in public and is recorded for posterity. Let's review the record. But only a paragraph later, she writes, the people who stormed the U.S. Capitol, armed with guns, pipe bombs, and plex cuffs to take members of Congress and Vice President Pence hostage, understood Trump's wink and nudge style loud and clear. One cannot incite with a wink and a nudge, not unless those gestures have already been specified to mean a call to violence. Nothing Trump said in his speech before the violence broke out was a specific call for violence, much less insurrection. Part of how we know this is the vast, vast majority of those who attended the speech, recalled literally for peaceful protests at the Capitol, did not engage in any violence whatsoever. I watched the speech. I listened to every word. It was a wonderful speech. There was no incitement whatsoever. Meanwhile, so much for incitement as to insurrection. At no point was the overthrow of the government of the United States even a remotely possible outcome, not even close. Those cosplaying idiots taking selfies in Speaker Pelosi's office, parading around with podia, had no intent of forming a new government. This is an expression of anger, not a realistic organized coup attempt. Anyone among the rioters who believe their action would result in the overthrow of the government, if there were any, were deluded to the point of insanity. So if it wasn't incitement and it wasn't insurrection, why do the Democrats, the corporate media, and their big tyrants want you to believe it was? The reason is simple, actually, to create an atmosphere of crisis and emergency that gives cover to extreme and illiberal actions to punish and silence those with whom they disagree politically. In other words, it's being used as a pretext to punish anyone who takes exception to the Democrats' policies. Meanwhile, of course, they were protesting what Trump believed quite sincerely to be the theft of the election, which, by the way, merely by virtue of his sincere belief, undermines both the cases in D.C. about January 6th and in Georgia about the election. When we get more and more proof that the election was stolen virtually on a daily basis. Here's a nice piece from UNZ.com, UNZ.com. Yes, Virginia, there, the 2020 election was fraudulent, and GOP leadership, among others, are complicit. Here are a few passages. Editor Peter Brimlow writes, when the 2020 election controversy erupted, I decided that VDare.com, of which he is the editor, would not focus upon it. VDare.com's Letitia James drained resources I thought should be concentrated on our key issue, immigration, and the survival of the historic American nation. The mainstream and big tech, of course, set up an echo chamber of sloganeering and shadow banning, but the major conservative and corporate outlet, to my surprise, did very little. Meanwhile, by eliminating border enforcement, the Biden administration embarked on what must be the most sweeping flouting of law by any administration in U.S. history, and the most consequential. I asked myself, if they can do this to immigration law, why wouldn't they have done this to election law? And what about 2024? For anyone not a rabid Democrat, late on election night, November 3rd and 4th, 2020, the strong stench of fraud swirled across America. As Mr. Trump walked out to speak to the media in the early hours of November 4th, TV news tickers showed the president with a comfortable lead over Joe Biden in nearly every key battleground state. Pennsylvania, 56 to 43, a lead of just under 700,000 votes. Georgia, 51 to 48, a lead of nearly 120,000. Michigan, 53 to 45, a lead of nearly 295,000. Wisconsin, 51 to 47, a lead of more than 116,000 votes. The impression then was given by the mainstream that counting was stopping for the night. Subsequently, this was disputed. Some stoppages were partial. In some cases, all that was stopped for some was reporting of the vote. However, newscoms.frankchunk cited above provided this tweet dropped toward me. States that won't be called tonight due to vote counting delays, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, go to sleep. When reporting counting continued, Biden suddenly jumped into the lead. Eventually, he was declared the winner with these majorities. Pennsylvania, 81,660. Georgia, 11,719. Michigan, 154,188. Wisconsin, 20,608. I believe I have watched every presidential election count to the death since 1968. I cannot recall any with an hiatus in counting reporting, nor with such decisive late reversals. Many others held the same opinion. They'd very likely have joined President Trump in being suspicious. This crucial subjective aspect has been largely memorable by the mainstream. I watched the damn thing unfold. I was just dumbfounded. When they discontinued the voting, they sent everyone home. They sent the poll watchers home. Then they continued shenanigans. It was outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. And the history here, in all the evidence, is going to totally vindicate Trump, which means that any action he took in sincere protest was based in fact, not in conjecture. He did not know better because the facts were on his side. Meanwhile, Doug Collins has suggested that in Lake Tahoe, the Bidens may be talking about the political future of Joe. I think I have sorted out what's going on, why they're not running a campaign, why they made no effort to fund Joe, why they don't want to have any debates. I take it what they're going to do is the following. Biden is going to step down after primaries and caucus season is over, just heading toward the convention. And because of the rules of the DNC and the RNC under those circumstances, the DNC is going to be able to dictate, to specify who will be its presidential and vice presidential nominee. Roger Stone has speculated they want to run with Michelle Obama. I believe they want to run with Gavin Newsom with Michelle as a VP. But the events that have taken place now in Martha's Vineyard involving the chef, did you catch that? In fact, they lost the blood sample. Then it turns out to have had a whack in the back of the head. That his clothing were found separate from the body. What was this, nude paddle boarding? I'm telling you, the questions that she's going to have to confront over and beyond her own gender, whether she isn't a man with breast implants impersonating a woman, I mean, it's outrageous. But that is how they're going to play it. They don't want to give RFK Jr. the time of day. That might generate too much interest. And then if Biden steps down, and I think he may follow Jonathan Turley's break-the-glass strategy, pardoning Hunter and withdrawing from the 2024 race at the same time, which most Americans would understand as a father's concern for their son, then they can move. They got to get Kamala out of there. I can't tell you how they're going to do it. But I guarantee you, they're not going to run with Kamala, who's an even bigger airhead and even less competent, if that were possible, than Biden himself. So that, I think, is why they're playing the game the way they're playing the game. They don't want to have any debates, because otherwise, if Joe were to withdraw, RFK Jr., having entered the fray, would be the obvious guy to promote to the nominee. They don't want that to happen. They're going to leave it so the DNC can dictate the candidates, which they've done in the past. It's been even outrageous. Bernie Sanders, for example, was denied 13 primaries. He actually won. The DNC moved him into the Hillary column to guarantee she would be the nominee. That's why Seth Rich got so distressed and distraught that he actually released a whole lot of records from the files of the DNC, for which he paid with his life. Meanwhile, Fox News boss Rupert Murdoch is apparently planning a Hail Mary to stop Donald Trump. It's not going to work, but it appears he's reaching out to the Virginia governor in order to try to put together some kind of effort. This is Glenn Youngkin talking to him about throwing his hat in the ring. I guarantee you that's not going to play out. Glenn Youngkin isn't going to make a dent here. But Rupert is just throwing in, the kitchen sink, everything he can possibly do to try to make it happen that Trump is not allowed to go forward. I'm sorry to say they're going to be unsuccessful in the extreme. Meanwhile, Biden's policies continue to cause calamities for the American people. His unlawful food stamp expansion is driving Mises fat spikes in grocery prices, reported from the Blaze. The Biden admin, a study released by the Foundation for Government Accountability, reported that the largest permanent increase in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in 2021 has been linked to a national spike in grocery prices. In 2021, the Biden admin rushed through the largest permanent increase in food stamp benefits since the program was created, hiking benefits by an average of 27%. They found the Biden admin by pushing through an unlawful expansion of the program. They've called on Congress to repeal it. But just look at what they're doing. This is a Cloward-driven plan to destroy America by overwhelming the welfare state. It's also known, of course, that you cannot combine a welfare state with unlimited open borders. And, of course, in addition, we therefore get the combination of the clergy plan, which was initiated, again, by a Jewish intellectual to flood Europe with migrants from Africa. Cloward Priven, again, Jewish intellectuals talking about how to destroy America. And we even have the DHS collaborate with the UN in Panama to bring convoys of these migrants to the border, where I have video of the trucks with the Star of David on the door. Israel is trying to bring America to defeat, even as it uses America to fight a war in Ukraine, because Israel wants Ukraine to be the new Israel. This is all absolutely disgusting stuff. Everyone has to understand what's going on. Meanwhile, too,
it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right.
Here comes the sun, I say,
In my teaching days as a professor, I noticed a substantial diminution in enthusiasm for conversion when students learn that in Islam, there's an absolute prohibition against the consumption of alcoholic beverages and no sex outside of marriage. Thus, we get a striking case in Maryland where the court rules against Muslim-led parents demanding an opt-out of the LGBTQ propaganda in Maryland schools. I cannot believe this ruling is going to be sustained. This is a First Amendment freedom of religion. This is outrageous. I mean, it's very clear-cut in terms of the tenets of Islam that these Muslims are going to have bona fide religious-based objections to being exposed to gay and lesbian and all the other nonsense that's going on here that the Democrats are pushing. Here's another example. And leftists cry violence after a Catholic school system fully rejects gender ideology and gay advocacy. I mean, of course, anyone with reasonable values, especially religious-based values, is not going to be enthusiastic about all this gender nonsense or gay advocacy. They're going to repudiate it. But the leftists are calling it violence? It's not violence. I mean, how absurd can you get? Meanwhile, too, we also have the left, the Babylon Bee, catching up. You know, they just have such a sense of humor. Get this. Liberal dies on toilet while waiting CDC guidance on how to wipe. Seattle, Washington. Liberal man Jonathan Seymour passed away dying on the toilet as he awaited instructions from the Center for Disease Control and how to wipe his own butt. I kept telling him to just go for it, said housemate Ronald Mills. Jonathan just wouldn't take the risk. Officials said Mr. Seymour became severely dehydrated as he refused to move from the toilet for either food or water. What am I supposed to do? Cried Mr. Seymour, desperate for guidance. Well, I can't do this alone. Front to back to front, folded or unfolded, how many squares? Speak to me, Fauci. Sadly, bereft of instructions from the CDC, Mr. Seymour remained on the commode until his untimely passing. It's really tragic, said Mr. Mills. No one should ever die just because they don't know how to wipe.
RepublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.